You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Welcome to El Tal and John's La Liga Weekly. Thanks for coming back, or thanks for joining us if you're a first timer. Tell your friends, subscribe, and make the necessary budget adjustments ahead of the launch of our new Patreon page. In essence, every week we'll talk about La Liga, where this week Lionel Messi starred in a Barcelona comeback, prompting our first editorial decision to drop the Player of the Week competition. The guy is basically cheating. The only player to rival him is Real Madrid's number 9, not a transfer window signing, but in fact Karim Benzema, who's emerged coughing and blinking into the light after 9 years as Cristiano Ronaldo's slave. Atletico lost, leaving Diego Simeone as happy as an Italian with an 11 sports subscription. So it's been a good week for Betis, a bad week for Sevilla, and an ugly week for poor old Kevin Gamero. The Copa del Rey was interesting. The Copa del Rey is always interesting. You'd think it would be interesting enough to be on the TV in the UK and Ireland. But no. The other day I watched a programme best described as fat blokes picking up logs. That's on TV. But Barcelona versus Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey semi-final isn't. So you'll find yourself on your laptop trawling dodgy websites. Not that kind of dodgy website. We've got a new competition inspired by Mystic Tell. And here we should add it's a competition without a prize at the end. A bit like any football season for Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, sorry, Terry.
Actually, I should point out that after last week's listening figures, we fired Terry and replaced him with Luis Garcia, and then we changed our mind and got him back and hoped that no one would notice. Ah, Villarreal. It used to be a cliche of the well-run club, Villarreal, didn't it? Shall we start with Villarreal,
yeah.
Terry? What? I mean, Pete wants to know what can they do to start winning. Matthew wants to know, is there any glimmer of hope? First of all, just explain what an absolute...
I can't.
What a shambles.
I can't. The glimmer of hope is, in my opinion, they still have a formidable squad, which makes it even more mystifying as to why they've only won one game at home this season. They've only won 3 games in total. They were 2-0 up against a miserable Espanyol at the moment and draw 2-2. It's really difficult to find an explanation for their form.
Yeah.
It's difficult to find any explanation other than the fact they've got a manager back on the cheap, because I imagine they are still paying him.
Yes. So we'll just rewind, shall we? Because if people aren't following it that closely, they fired the manager. They appointed,
rightly so.
Yeah, because he wasn't doing very well, was it? And he's not
awful.
A very good manager. He made them worse. So they fired him, and then just 7 weeks of Luis Garcia Plaza in charge, they fired him and brought back the previous...
Javier Calleja.
Calleja, who was the previous coach.
And some of the comments as well. His comments that he's come back with more purpose than when he left 7 weeks ago. He should have had plenty of purpose 7 weeks ago when he was manager. And the president of the club said that they have the utmost confidence that he is the right man for the job to make sure that Villarreal survived this season.
This time.
It's going to get more complicated as well because they're still in Europe. So that's extra games at this stage of the season when they're struggling to find form, where they could well do without. And it wouldn't surprise me that he messes about with a team for Europe and they win. They actually win in that because we have no idea what the best starting 11 for Villarreal is with any of the three managers that they've had this season.
Yes.
It's really bizarre. But when you look at the players, and Cazorla's is still clearly their best player, and that's not diminishing the rest of the squad. It's just the fact that he has been in absolutely superb form, which is a massive surprise and a real pleasure to continue seeing him playing at that level again. But and he's, you know, you look at the rest of the players. Trigueros didn't play today because he was injured. But you look at Carlos Bacca, Gerard Moreno, you look at the central defenders, Jaime Costa, Mario Gasper on the flanks and at full-back positions. They brought in Vicente Ibora, who scored a goal today. There's so much quality in that squad that it's hard to... I can't recognise where the problem is. Lack of confidence, of course, that is the obvious one to start with.
You always have that, don't you? But when you do badly.
Exactly, but they've got the quality to overcome that. And you know, quite frankly, when they played Espanyol today, with 2-0 up, Espanyol got one win and one draw in the last 11. So that's the type of game, if you're in Villarreal's position and you're leading 2-0 at home, then you should do everything you can to make sure you don't concede a silly goal, which is what they did, a free kick that was spilt by Sergio Asenjo, and Daniele Bonera follows up.
It's a pretty silly
gets
goal.
Gets his feet all wrong and slides it past his own goalkeeper when he's trying to kick it clearly behind the goal for a corner. And then it was a spectacular goal from Roberto Rosales to get the equaliser for Espanyol, but that's an epic foul for Villarreal again.
So Barcelona, has it been a good week? I mean, yes, in that they've extended their lead at the top, which is very handy indeed. And, of course, yes, in that they did overturn the Copa del Rey deficit and came through. Messi banging in goals all over the place. The reaction is still the same. We discussed this last week, didn't we? Everyone's just a little underwhelmed by Barcelona, and yet they do everything required of them.
Yeah, but I think what we have to take into account is something I've always said, and our regular listeners will know, the season pretty much starts here now for Barcelona. We've had the Copa del Rey run, two games coming up, which the only winners are Atletico Madrid. They've not been in the Copa del Rey, and now they're going to see Barcelona and Real Madrid go hammer and tongs, closely followed by League Clasico, closely followed then by Champions League football as well. So that's the other teams in the Champions League will be the winners, but the fact that Real Madrid and Barcelona are going to be at it against each other with great rivalry over the next 3 or 4 weeks. But it's you know, they put themselves in a position to be in the semi-final of the Copa del Rey. They're into the next stages of the Champions League, which is par for the course, of course. But for Barcelona now, they're top of the league. It's a surprise, I guess, to the degree that they extended their lead after going behind 2-0 against Valencia at home. No surprise to see Valencia getting another draw. That's their 12th of the season. Two draws against Barcelona this season as well. So it's almost a tough game against Valencia for Barcelona, but Valverde making changes. The problem issue is, and quite surprising, they're taking their time, aren't they, to deliver a new contract, new terms for Jordi Alba.
Yeah.
And when you see when he's not there, we saw with Sergio Roberto surprisingly being chosen to play at left back, and you saw then the instincts of that Sergio Roberto, he's still not a fullback.
Yeah.
He gets away with it on the right side, but it was a big risk to put him on the left side of the defence, and he didn't look comfortable at all. So there are still issues for Barcelona, but it's up to Valverde now. He has the relative experience now with being at the club a while to know that this is where, you know, the crunch period really does kick in. League, Cup, Champions League.
Donny wants to know, do Barca need to find a better backup left back, as Roberto is barely an option at right back, so he agrees with you pretty much, and Miranda is not yet good enough.
They've got the left-sided central defenders, haven't they? They've got three of them, Vermaelen, Umtiti and Lunglei. But none of them would replica what Jordi Alba gives to Barcelona. What you're looking at is an attacking player that used to be a winger converted to a full-back that's full of energy. Any of those three playing in the left-back position could do the defensive side of the game, but they're not going to give you what Jordi Alba goes. So you can just, you know, the shock horror of Lionel Messi looking up and it's not Jordi Alba, but it's Thomas Vermaelen racing down the left-back position isn't going to have the same impact and as being as effective for Barcelona. So it's quite surprising that there isn't an actual like for like replacement for Jordi Alba.
Yeah. Yeah. So what would you do? Would you buy one? They had Digne, of course, but they sold him.
Yeah, that's still a little bit of a mystery. I guess that a player that cost them a decent amount of money that they could sell for decent money as well to Everton was the temptation, I guess. Then the money was spent elsewhere. But I wondered, this might be a little bit of a wild card, whether they appear to have no use for Malcolm at the moment. Whether it might be a possibility that he might be able to learn the role. When you play left-back for Barcelona, in the majority of games, you will be attacking midfield at worst. Most of the game, you'll be left wing. Every now and then, you'll have to use your pace, get on your toes and get back to some sort of defensive position. So I just wondered, he wouldn't be the first winger converted to a full-back. Certainly not the first winger converted from fullback to a fullback to play for Barcelona, but they're dotted all around the place. You know, players that used to be wingers a long time ago. Danny Rose is another one at Spurs. People completely forget that he was a winger. Jesus Navas is doing it at the age of 33 for Sevilla, playing in a wing back role. Mm-hmm. Moreno at Liverpool was a left winger for. When he first got into the team at Sevilla, had about three or four games as a left back, and Liverpool rushed in and bought him and didn't realise that, this is a winger that's only recently started playing fullback. So it's not unusual. It's something that perhaps Barcelona might look to do to make some use of Malcolm, who's clearly there now for the rest of the season.
We've got too many questions to get through that came through on our new Twitter account, L. Tellen Johns, La Liga Weekly. Charlie Barca, an old friend of the show, of the other show. There's nothing to do with this show, of course. He's worried that Barca are going to repeat the mistakes of last season. Valverde's lack of faith in the bench means the bench lack confidence. Will we run out of steam?
I'm not worried about it, but it will be interesting to see how it pans out. It is an issue for all the big clubs, isn't it? Most of them tend to have a strongest 11. 12, 13 players. Once you dip below that, then it does unsettle the team. But unfortunately, or fortunately in the case of all the big clubs around Europe that are challenging for all the trophies, it's something that they are used to dealing with and going to have to deal with again. So
it's hurt Barca, though, hasn't it, in recent seasons, not winning the Champions
League? I think, yes, it has. But I don't put that entirely down to... I mean, last season they lost three games all season. And one of them was a cup game against Espanyol, where they could come back and win the second leg, which we've seen them do this week against Sevilla, which was a lot closer, by the way, than the 6-1 looks a thrashing. I know it is, technically. Yeah. But at 4-0 when Sevilla scored, Sevilla were going searching for the next goal, which 4-2 would have put them through.
Yeah.
And that's when Barcelona opened up. That sixth goal they scored was sensational goal. Absolutely brilliant goal to watch.
Yeah, wonderful, yeah.
But I think last season against Roma, complacency was the problem, not the fact that players were tired. I think they went into the game with a healthy lead and took their foot off the pedal. And Roma really got stuck into it. Great atmosphere in the stadium, and that you could sense that Barcelona just couldn't turn it round again. And I think complacency is, as always, is my biggest criticism of Barcelona.
Stu wants to know, what's the long-term solution for Barca up front with Suarez getting older and Messi potentially becoming more of a playmaker than a finisher? Spend a lot of money?
Saw the added bits of that tweet where when you look at the stats of Messi, it's astonishing to still think that he's a playmaker with 21 league goals this season.
He's the best at everything, isn't he?
I think Suarez, of course, is getting older, but still an important player. But of course, they're going to have to replace him at some stage. Who with? That's really difficult at the moment because I think there's a lack of top quality, elite, world class strikers, which is what Barcelona are going to have to buy. Most of them are around a similar age. You mentioned Benzema, Lewandowski, all around the same age, Cavani. Go through the list of the six, five or six that are most likely, Luis Suarez, similar age. Then you drop down and you're lacking in terms of obvious replacements and someone Barcelona can buy to play in the centre-forward role. I think there's a little element maybe that Dembele might be able to occupy the centre-forward position, but he's not going to be a replacement for Suarez. It's a totally different player.
Would you pursue Mbappe?
Yes, if I was Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he would be the obvious one to
for the future. And obviously they tried to sign Griezmann as well, and that didn't come off, but it's always a possibility again, isn't it? Or maybe it's not, having rejected them once.
Yeah,
in video form.
I think that you're done with that. And once you've done that, they're not going back.
Last Barcelona question. Jack wants predicted lineups for the Clásico. You don't have to give us it all, but how strong for the first of the Clásicos, so the midweek Champions League game, Copa del Rey game.
It's a possibility of the Champions League as well this season. That mad season, didn't we? We really played in all the competitions.
So how strong? Are they going full blast at it with the starting 11?
There's nothing but a full blast Clásico. Perhaps Solari might be able to make one or two changes, being away leg first, to be a little bit more defensive, to make sure they're still in it for the second leg. But I think the temptation is there for both managers to play their strongest teams in certainly Barcelona in the first leg. What we've been seeing them in the Copa del Rey so far is resting big players in the first legs and bringing them all back for the second leg, and it's worked. But I think being at home in the first leg this one, it's a must that they start with the big hitters.
You can't mess around in the Clásico.
At the weekend, Barcelona, no Alba, he came off the bench. Busquets was suspended. Artur didn't start. Lenglet didn't start. And there's a question mark over Dembele's fitness, whether he can get back to fitness. And, of course, Messi was the big concern, going down injured and having lengthy treatment before returning back to the field of play. So with Real Madrid, they were able to rest some, force through suspension. Carvajal, Varane was suspended. No Marcelo, but that's because Reguilón's playing well. But that might be the game. But that Solari thinks, oh, we'll bring Marcelo back for that one. He's fresh, he's ready to go. But it has been a position what Barcelona have attacked in the past, that his fullback position. Toni Kroos and Lucas Vasquez weren't even part of the squad today. So there's room to move a little bit for both coaches. I think both selections today were with a view in mind of the cup match in midweek.
So we'll have a detailed look at Real Madrid next. But we enjoyed our ad break last week so much that we're going to have another little one. And then we'll explain our new competition. So let's fingers crossed that Ray Winston or someone appears and tells you all about who you should bet with.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Anything? Anything? No. Never mind. They'll come. The Twitter handle is @LaLiga. underscore weekly. So there's no L telling Johnny that we've just, we've nicked, well, there never was, when we were doing it with Sky, there never was a La Liga weekly special address. Let's talk about our predictions competition, which we'll get to at the details at the end. But basically, Terry, you are your mystic tale because you basically watched a football match and said this is what this game is.
Yeah, I intended to be the Tony Romo of the football world. I don't know if you know, he's the new analyst on the NFL when he calls. He's an ex-quarterback from the Dallas Cowboys, and he practically calls every play before it's done. Because he uses his position as a quarterback to identify which, and it's canny how much he's done it. So for a bit of fun yesterday, I thought I'm going to try and be the Tony Romo of predictions in the UK.
And you hit it.
Yep.
So there we are. So So rather than trying to do the player of the week, because obviously when you're listening to this, the moment's gone. So it's ahead of next week. So we'll tell you that at the end. And it's also an incentive to stay listening once your favourite team has finished. So. Real Madrid. Let's have a quick chat ourselves. 3-0 against Alaves. Decent team, Alaves, losing a little bit of form at the moment, but very good performance really from Real Madrid. Not perfect. They were a little vulnerable once or twice on the break.
Yeah, second half they were under the weather a little bit. They were really good first half. Standout players are Vinicius, who's exciting to watch.
Yeah,
and Benzema. Gareth Bale was quiet. He played an hour and then was replaced. It's going to be interesting to see whether he starts the Clasico. My gut feeling is that he won't. I think he'll be on the bench. So that'd be interesting. With Vasquez being totally rested today, Asensio coming on as well, the options are the squad's getting stronger again.
Yeah.
They showed good spirit in recent weeks when they didn't have a number of players and they dug deep and they started playing better, started winning games. But for the majority of the game today, there was only going to be one winner. Got a little bit nervous when it was just 1-0 with time running out. And once they got the second goal and the third goal from Mario Diaz was a sensational header. So, again, another player returning from injury to be most welcome for Solari after Asensio coming off the bench. Bell coming back to fitness. Kroos was able to be rested. So, no, consider that Alaves won earlier in the season. It's a tidy result for Real Madrid. It does close the gap slightly to them and Barcelona. 8 points adrift now and just a couple of points behind the Atletico Madrid going into the derby next week.
Rui Pires, remember Rui? He used to produce back in the old days. Can Real Madrid mount an unlikely tilt at the title?
It's not impossible because they've got Barcelona to play, of course. They play Atletico Madrid next week. That's the first hurdle that they've got to overcome. But 8 points is, as Rui says, it would be unlikely success. I'm not sure yet that they're actually good enough to do that. I don't think they're capable of making up that gap.
And friends of the old La Liga Weekly will be delighted to know that Zen Green Yoda has been back in touch.
Back.
So thank you. It's good to have you back. Happy to have you chaps back. I've been depressed since Perez cost us Ronaldo. Do you guys trust our youth policy? I don't. Can't see why we can't afford superstars anymore.
But the money they're paying for the young players is significant. So, I mean, it's 40 million for Vinicius at 18. At the moment, that we have to rein in slightly on not getting too carried away too quickly, but the signs look really good. See, Rodrigo is the second young Brazilian that they bought, again, for a similar amount of money. You think Odriozola came in for a lot of money, which I've never been entirely sure that they needed to spend
really,
that on a cover right back.
It's not a classic youth policy, is it?
No, Brahim Diaz again is exactly. Yeah, it's not one where they're bringing up youngsters through from the Cantera. There are one or two, but by and large, they're spending big money on them. So, I guess, from the outside looking in, it's a club that doesn't want to be in the market for 100 million, 150, 200 million pound players.
Yeah. Why not? It's still got massive revenue. I know there's financial fair play, but why can't they use that revenue to buy players?
I don't
players?
Know. And it's been a long time now that this has been happening.
Yeah.
We've said it countless times. James Rodriguez was the last big name. Mm. That was 2014 World Cup. So a significant time ago that they've not gone out and spent the money and bought one of the top players in the world.
Yeah.
I hope it's not the end of that. I hope that we're going to see more of those coming through the door at Real Madrid, but that's the way they're going at the moment. A lot of money's been earmarked, isn't it, for the refurbishment of what is already one of the best stadiums in the world. So that's slightly baffling.
Yeah, and but that doesn't affect your financial fair play, does it? Your stadium redevelopment. Well, obviously you need the actual money. Yep. It doesn't affect you in financial, but you don't get the penalty for it. Joe, why on earth did Madrid buy Brahim? That's in Brahim Diaz. Not even in the squad again today. Barca have had a more consistent transfer policy. And Vinicius, two different opinions. Cambo quoting our old friend Guillaume Balague, who's doing the commentary. He said, well, now, what Guillaume said was that he compared him to both Ronaldos. No,
some player, by the way, if you're a touch of the both Ronaldos.
But he did, you know, to be fair to Guillaume, he did say when they were 18. So, you know, he's not saying he's the Finnish article. Zengrin Yoda said, why the Vinicius hype? I've seen both Ronaldos, Neymar, Rivaldo, Ronaldinho, and Messi. Vinicius is not at that level.
It's not something that should be labelled with him, should it, really?
His
progress should just be an 18-year-old boy that's dealing with the fact he's moved to a different country for an awful amount of money, and what we've seen so far is genuinely exciting. You know, we all want to see players that have the ability to dribble, don't mind a back heel, have the courage, which you tend to do when you're 18, to take risks, take chances, not be afraid to do that sort of thing, play without any fear. He's in his favour is the fact he's surprisingly mature for an 18-year-old in terms of his physicality. He's a really strong player. There's no element of...
Could be a downside to that, can't there? That could explain why you've been ahead of the game. Wayne Rooney being a classic example.
Yes.
Who had a man's frame at 16.
Yes, no, that it's... And you do then, once you get into the team and you've got that, you've shown you physically you can cope, you do tend to then go on and stay in a team.
Yeah.
Which at the moment it looks like he's one of the reasons I mentioned that Gareth Bale might find himself on the bench, because I think Vinicius clearly at the moment deserves to be in the starting 11.
Last Real Madrid question, George. Should Sergio Reguilon remain at Real Madrid as Marcelo's understudy, or gain experience by going out on loan like Ashraf?
At the moment he deserves to be
playing, isn't he?
He deserves to just stay in the team. Not as his understudy. And we talked about the huge amount of money the club has spent on bringing young players in. There is one that's come through their system, and Real Madrid should be able to produce some of the best young players in the world.
Well, they should attract the best.
So it's always a surprise when a world superstar like Marcelo, Brazilian international on a regular basis, and played for Real Madrid for 10 years, loses his place to a young player that we hadn't heard too much about. But when you compare the performances, Reguilon is playing much better than what Marcelo was playing in the first 10, 15 games of the season. So it's clear at the moment Reguilon should be starting ahead of Marcelo.
Ashraf is doing really well though as well.
Weird one where they allowed him to go. He was the perfect age to be a cover for Dani Carvajal.
Yeah.
So there was 30-odd million they could have saved by not spending that on someone who was 2 or 3 years older than Ashraf, who's 2 or 3 years younger than Carvajal. That didn't make any sense whatsoever. But I always find with Real Madrid with Perez as well. All you got to do is have one good game, which Odriozola, I think his debut was for Real Sociedad against Real Madrid. If you have that one good game, and I'm not saying he didn't have other good games, of course he did. He's a good player. But that one game, from then on, it was always linked with Real Madrid. And it was almost a subject that Florentino Perez wouldn't let go of until he got him. And it was, from my opinion, the wrong decision. They had a good young right back who could play as cover. Nacho could play there as well in an emergency. So it was a strange one but Perez just wouldn't let it go. Similar to the Neymar thing. Still wouldn't surprise me that Neymar ends up at Real Madrid at some stage, because Florentino Perez is sometimes like a dog with a bone. When he won't, you know, forget about a player and move on to something else that's needed.
Let's talk about Betis Atleti. 1-0 win for Betis. A good day for football enthusiasts, right? Says Callum. Mawoya says, Quique Setien's Betis have beaten both Atleti and Barca while making Real Madrid sweat hard. Do you think they are underperforming in terms of their league position? So as in they do it against the big boys and struggle elsewhere. So tell us about that game.
Actually, it will go down as a little bit of a surprise, I think. Atletico Madrid getting beaten by Betis, who have not found, I mean, a healthy position in the league, moves them up to sixth place, the win today. But they haven't found consistent form. Epic fail when they failed to beat Real Madrid, I thought, at home, when Real Madrid were really struggling in terms of numbers and players and unfamiliar players playing for Real Madrid. But it's not a major surprise that when Betis play well and they can beat teams like Atletico Madrid at home anyway. So I think what was surprising today was they had the extra time against Espanyol in the Copa del Rey. They've now got another game against Valencia in the Copa del Rey. They're still involved in that. Atletico Madrid are out of the Copa del Rey, but they've got a number of injuries, number of players missing today that are important players. But we saw Morata starting up front with Griezmann. Lamar was one flank, Correa on the other flank. There's Rodrigo and Thomas Partey in midfield. No Godin, Felipe on the bench. The first game was 1-0. It was no surprise. I would have predicted a 1-0 in this. I possibly would have gone 1-0 Atletico Madrid, purely based on the fact that Betis had to make changes because of playing 120 minutes the other night, playing again in the cup this week. So it was a slight surprise, but it really could have gone either way. Atletico were unlucky. No Sal, no Koke involved today as well. They were injured. So it's Griezmann hit the post. Morata should have had a penalty, which went to VAR, and I've no idea why it wasn't given. It was one of those where when you see the replay, you think, oh, it's going to be a penalty. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't given. And Betis won with the penalty scored by Canales, handball against Felipe, which was unfortunate. And it was close to the edge of the box, but it was a penalty. The decision was given, and Betis won a really tight game, 1-0. Not an awful amount of chances, but it should be a tough game for any of the big three when they go and play Real Betis in their stadium.
Yeah, it's good to see Canales playing well, isn't it? Ahmad says, do you think Getafe and Alaves have what it takes to finish in the European spots? Or will the likes of Valencia and Betis end up there eventually? And let's come. We'll stick all of the results, the remaining results of the weekend here. Vlado says, which managers are most under pressure in the next few weeks? First for me is Ruby at Espanyol. They drew, as you mentioned earlier, Terry. 2-2, they came from behind to get that draw against Villarreal. I'd never rated Ruby previously. I hated all of his previous teams. Yep, dull and negative.
Did you change your opinion at the start of the season?
So we weren't doing this when they were top of the league. I'd have had to swallow my words.
And playing attacking football.
Yeah, yeah. And now he seems to have he's found his feet again and they're heading down.
Yeah. So. It's interesting seeing Huesca win at the weekend, Villarreal not winning, Raya play on Monday evening. Against Leganés, Girona are in a really poor run of form. That's 9 without a win for Girona. Valladolid, just 1-7. I think they've got 5 points from the last 21. I think Girona have only got 4 points from the last 27. So there's a number of teams just slipping down. Espanyol, of course, are one of those teams as well. We're going to be talking about this right throughout the season. I think it's going to be a difficult season for a number of teams in the bottom half. Celta Vigo, a much-needed victory for them and their coach, to get off the mark against Sevilla. Scrambled goal there to win it 1-0, but they're again a team perhaps, you know, that shouldn't be in that position. So if you ask me, Getafe and Alaves going to stay the distance, I don't think so. And we are now seeing Valencia back up in 8th, Real Sociedad in 9th, Athletic Bilbao, despite getting beat, that's twice this season by their Basque rivals, they look to be improving. So I we can't be surprised Getafe and Alaves hang around in the European spot. So I think the familiar faces, the top three are getting away from the rest as well now. 6-point gap between Real Madrid and Sevilla. So it's getting a more regular look to a La Liga table than what we saw in the first half of the season.
But really, really concertina together. As in Rayo Vallecano and Leganés, who played Monday night.
Yep.
They're both on 20, either side of the drop line. 23 points from 21 games. So that means we're looking at a 41 point survival. So, and obviously at the end, one of them's got to get points. And so, you know, 24 thereabouts, you know, you're going to be in a relegation battle.
One of them win, they could go 12.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the type of league that we've got. Raya in a sensational runoff form.
Yeah.
Playing good football. Mario Suarez has signed for them as well, come back from Chinese football. So it's going to be an interesting signing for Rayo Vallecano, another familiar face back in the Liga.
We've breezed over Getafe, so we haven't really chatted about their Copa del Rey game against Valencia, which was tasty, wasn't it? And very un-Getafe-like in that they were going through, and then they suddenly committed loads of players forward. Molina had the chance to hit his own player. They then got done on a counter. Rodrigo scores, and then all hell is let loose at the end of the game.
There's a number of players picked up suspensions in league games as which is surprising due to the how severe it was at the end of the game. That astonishing game for Molina to get the early goal to put them 2-0 up against the team that we've been calling troubled Valencia for most of the season. Have found a bit of form. Rodrigo's found a bit of form, but to see them get a second half hat trick, the last two to put them through in the 90th and 93rd minute. Really dramatic quarterfinal between those teams. So it's a shame for Getafe because they're having a real good go at the Copa del Rey. But it was tough on them to go out. Fifth place, quarterfinals at the Copa del Rey. They're having a really good season. But as always with Getafe, they do run out of players when the suspensions start kicking in.
So we're doing everything. So Huesca won 4-0 against Valladolid on Friday night. Levante 0, Getafe 0. That'll do. Real Sociedad Athletic. We haven't had much of a chance to have a chat about these ones. Willian Jose, did we say this? Or did we talk about this? Brilliant finish, wasn't it, Willian Jose?
It was, yeah. Yathbel got the first goal. Willian Jose with the second. And Real Garcia with a penalty and followed up after missing. But no, Real Sociedad deserved to win that. And it was good to see the Anoeta as well. It's been a struggle this season. But we've seen them in the past playing in a stadium that's got the running track around it. The supporters are miles away. They're doing such a good job to bring the supporters closer together. They've dug down, haven't they? Gone down 30 metres. Interesting how they've managed to somehow turn a stadium that wasn't great to watch football in. Dug down, I think it's 30 metres they've gone down and built the stadium and transformed it into a place now where it looks to have a really great, good atmosphere.
Yeah.
So for them, that's an achievement for Real Sociedad. It's something that they'll brag about for a while, to beat Athletic Bilbao home and away this season. So that was a really good performance from Real Sociedad, and William Jose's goal was fantastic.
So Barca 2, Valencia 2, discuss that. Celta Vigo beat Sevilla by a goal to nil. So bad all week for Sevilla, isn't it? I think it's Nick saying, what happens to them in big game? I mean, that wasn't a particularly big game today, but...
No, big games, they do struggle. Yeah. They do. They were disappointed against Real Madrid recently. They were disappointed against Barcelona midweek. At home, they... And this isn't something new. This is not something you can pin on Pablo Machin. This is something that's been going on for a long time now, where they do struggle, lack of belief, which is surprising because they change their team from season to season.
Yeah, too much.
So there's no reason why a player that's playing for Sevilla now should be concerned the fact that they haven't won at the Bernabeu for 7, 8 years, 10 years, or whatever it is. It's no interest to them. So it is surprising that they still are not able to overcome and be more competitive away from home against the big two in particular.
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. I just desperately hope that they don't change everything again in the summer, which is what they consistently
do. Pretty sure they will.
Villarreal 2-2, Espanyol. Betis beat Atletico 1-0. Eibar 3, Girona 0. And Monty's asking, how good is Cucurella?
I think he's getting more attention due to the fact that he's a Barcelona player.
Right, yeah.
I think he's doing okay, basically. Do I see him go back to Barcelona? No.
No.
Do I see him making a good career in La Liga? Yes.
Yeah. Need a haircut.
An Eibar? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Do I see him staying at Eibar? I think it would be more than the best place for him. He should stay there.
Yeah.
He's playing regular football. He's a left back playing left side midfield with Jose Angel behind him. So they've got a good partnership up and down the left flank, the two left backs, but both like to get forward, so they can reverse roles if need be. But they have a number of good players, Eibar, and that was an emphatic win today against a Girona team who are finding it really tough at the moment, of sliding their way down the league table.
Right, so that is everybody.
Charlie's great goal, wasn't
it? Yes, yeah.
We have to mention Huesca.
Yes.
I've done some notes on the Huesca.
Oh, go on then, tell it. Yes, go on.
But it's only their third win of the season, which is the same as Villarreal. They call it the new Huesca because they made some signings in the transfer window. They're a team that I've been talking about during the season. They lost so many games by the odds goal. They've drawn so many games. Their goal difference isn't massively... You know, we've had teams in the past that have really struggled in this division the last two or three seasons. They're not one of those cases. They were the best team I saw at the weekend. Best performance, most exciting attacking football was Huesca. The reason I wanted to talk about them, they've got a player called Yangel Herrera, who's Venezuelan on loan from Manchester City. He's just spent 2 years on loan at New York City. Surprise, surprise. He'll be at Girona next season. And he was outstanding, holding midfield player. The main one is a player called Enrique Gallego, who's 32, signed in this transfer window from Extremadura. I think it was for €2 million, so it's quite big money. He turns pro January 2018. He's 32 years old. He'd been playing lower league football until he got promoted with Extremadura, which is where Huesca bought him from. He got promoted with them to the second division, so signed pro forms in August. Last August, signed professional forms at the age of 31 and made his debut in La Liga on Friday night, scored a fine goal, led the line really well to get his first ever goal in La Liga. How he's not played at a better level from the evidence that I saw on Friday night. He's one of those that we've got a number of those that have been knocking around the
Segunda.
Liga.
Don't know the Segunda as well, do we? You can watch them on YouTube now.
He was third division until a year ago.
So that's where bargains emerge. Players come out and you say, wow, he's a bit useful.
Well, his first time in the second division was this season, and he was top scorer up until Christmas. Hence the reason that Huesca went in and nabbed him from Extremadura. And he comes in and starts the ball rolling on Friday night with the first goal in a 4-0 win. And he was the Huesca were excellent.
So Rayo Leganés is the Monday night game in La Liga. And then there is the Copa del Rey coming up in midweek. Oh, by the way, the reference to ugly, by the way. I'm not slagging off Kevin Gamera. He got a boot in the eye, didn't he? Or a collision.
There was a picture.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible.
More squeamish than me, I think.
handsome man, but not quite so much anymore. And then Copa del Rey coming up in the week. As I say, not on TV in the UK and Ireland. Other people in the rest of the world will wonder what we're banging on about with the TV. One of these days we'll have a chat about what's happened to the TV in the UK and Ireland with the Spanish TV. You can just watch. You can still watch it. I'm still there on 11 Sports, but not the Copa del Rey.
Use your initiative somewhere.
So you just have to find your own way. Well, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want to. It's just... you know what? I don't think it makes me a dinosaur.
I think we've given a rundown on all the Copa del Rey games that we watched in midweek.
But I'm sure we're not alone to sit down and watch football on the television. I'm sorry if that's a terribly old-fashioned notion.
Dinosaur.
Anyway, Matthew Clark came up with a good idea. He saw your prediction about Llorente setting up Son for a goal. What about a predictions idea? So that's a better idea, I think, isn't it? Because it gives us the whole week to look forward to it. So coming up this week, amongst a terrific array of games from La Liga, is Atletico Real Madrid, which is in the Saturday afternoon slot, and then Sunday Valencia against Real Sociedad, and Sunday evening is Athletic against Barcelona. They're probably the three best games. So feel free, using our at La Liga _ weekly, send us yours in, and we won't necessarily read them all out, but we will.
People just can't copy mine.
That would be. There's not a lot of point in that, is there?
Knowing that I get everything right.
I agree with Terry. So what do you think? So you at home, what do you think for Atletico against Real Madrid, the big Madrid derby, Valencia against Real Sociedad, Athletic against Barca? Terry, what are you predicting?
I'm going for, and this is based on theory of the involvement of certain clubs in the Copa del Rey.
Yes, yeah.
So Atletico at home against Real Madrid. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
And guess who gets the goal? Mr. Morata.
Oh, right, OK. Yeah.
The script is ready.
Yeah. Are we demanding people? I don't think we're demanding people say goal scorers.
That's my theory on this game. The headline news. I'm going to go for Barcelona for a narrow 2-1 win at Athletic Bilbao. I did take into consideration the fact that it's going to be in between the two Clásicos and the Copa del Rey, but I just think Barcelona would just have just too much for Athletic Bilbao, despite resting players. And the last game between Valencia and Real Sociedad, Valencia involved in the thick of the action of the Copa del Rey. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw there. I'm going to go for Real Sociedad, who improved in terms of form. And Valencia with the amount of draws they get.
Yeah, they like
that's
a draw.
An obvious, I think that's the result I'm going to go for that one.
Right, so join in. Follow us on that Twitter page. Join in the predictions competition. Please subscribe. Please share. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.